Hey, Steve. Chuck Clark is on the field. They've got him well programmed. Still keep making is the point that you said, fine, explore all the cities you want to explore. But the one I'd like to go to is Chicago. That's really what you was. And when
totally
you,
true.
You were told they were exploring San Diego, and you said, fine. And you said Houston would be fine. And they ruled it out because they didn't have the right facilities. And you said,
okay.
You know,
well, there's a new U.S. We know it's hard. All
right. Carr, some of them are arguing this morning. They think that whole thing is
turning around.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting tired.
Yeah, it's just running out. And
I have a feeling that people are tired. I mean,
well, Bernie did an outstanding job against Honey yesterday.
On Face the Nation.
One of those. Yeah, Face the Nation.
How did he do that?
I saw part of it.
I called it, so I can't call it again.
Oh, I listened to the whole thing on the radio, and I saw part of it on college.
And what did he do? Just
Gurney is, he does a good job. He's very, in the first place, he looks, you know, Tony looks like such a complete shit.
Yeah.
And he really does. He is a revolting looking guy.
I don't know what a cop shirt looks like, but he looks like one. No, I'll save you to that. The Spanish swear words are much worse than ours.
Yeah.
Much worse. Instead of saying son of a bitch, they say son of a whore.
Yeah.
You see. Dios de puta.
Puta, yeah.
And so there was about 20 demonstrations out there, 25. We went to the other house for an hour or two, so they cleared away. And I told them all this one bad hell not to call that guy tomorrow. And he reported, he said, sir, just half the girls. He said, they're so dirty, so ugly. He said, if a man be in a desert island and not see a woman for 20 years, he couldn't sleep with one of these girls. So then he said, and the men, these boys, he's not going to know that. But I know plenty of their mothers. He says, I see them all the time, 42nd and Broadway in New York.
Fantastic. Beautiful picture, yeah.
42nd and Broadway, yeah. Oh, they're three waters. You know, Well, anyway, but what a Gurney.
Well, Gurney looks like a senator. He sounds like a reasonable, intelligent man.
Yeah.
You know, he's good.
Yeah.
He's quiet, low key, but persistent. And he knocks this stuff down. Point by point. Tony's babbling on about all these things, and Gurney says, but here's the facts on this. And he hits them one by one. He made the arguments just damn effectively.
Great. Great.
And he did against it with the reporters, too. You know, they change. Actually, the reporters seem more to be not on our side, but
not
kind of fed up with
actually,
it. Well, I think they're bored with it.
Actually, another thing that's interesting.
Then you back it up on the other half is for you to organize the appearances just like you were running a campaign. A commander will organize and direct the troops to follow up once the president makes a statement. Now see, you're going to get into a terrible Colson problem there. And what I was looking for is, instead of John,
but if
you see the church, just saying concentrate on selling our program.
All right, concentrate on selling our program, fine. And I would like you to work with Colson.
And instead of directing activities of others, work on the planning of activities.
I want you to work directly. Work directly with Colson and others. Colson and Paula.
Yeah.
We're going to work directly with them in planning that they're going to get the troops. Well, the point that I'm trying to get across to John was the fact that it's not the whole goddamn staff. Please get me
other people going.
The simile of the pink gun going off and the infantry not going in to hold the ground.
Yeah.
It's what everybody in this shop has got to get through his head.
That's correct. Yep.
And,
no, these are superb. They hit it exactly right, except for that one little thing that I think you might
use. Already saw a post. And John Luke was in.
Well, John Luke was in and said, what he did, frankly, is set Ed Morgan up in charge of it, and we'd be right back where we were before. And you don't want to do that. We've got a better follow-up.
Okay.
We need better planning.
What we need is John Luke's papers and John's ideas are needed.
That's right.
Lead to the execution of the Colson. I agree. All right.
I'll modify that.
Make that and send it off.
Now, on your in your memo this morning, the portrait's canceled, of course.
I'm not going to do that, please.
The weekly meeting with Conley will generally program, but...
Well, I'll probably do that.
The best thing to do on that and the Mitchell meeting, we won't set it off, is just we'll keep a lot of time open, and then when you want to have the meeting, you can just call them. That's no problem.
I'll have to call them later.
The Philadelphia thing, we are out of.
How did you do that?
Well... I raised the point. We started moving back on when you raised the question, and fortunately, we had not made any public.
You see my problem. The problem I have is that we'll catch a gaggle.
You're right.
Demonstrators in Ottawa. That's to stir up more in Philadelphia.
That's right.
I don't want it right now.
That's right.
Because we're playing a hard game in this war. And,
it works the other way, too. Because of the impact you did get out of the other thing,
you don't want it back.
You don't need it.
I know that, but
so close
is Volk is our problem, but
no.
Who even have?
We had committed it to Volk, which was the best thing to do. We had only committed it to Kroll.
Oh, well.
And we've gone back to Kroll, and there's no problem. Kroll, when we agreed to it, he said he would rather have you do the educational thing.
Right.
And you've done it, so we've got that.
Good.
And there is no problem. I am going to suggest, if the vice president can go, that he go, just because I think we can make some mileage out of it.
Right.
We might as well get somebody in.
That's right.
So there's no point in dropping the opportunity.
Great. Right.
And it's a good volunteer.
I'm
going
to go in. It's good.
So if we can do that, right. if he can do it, he will.
Right.
And we'll work out. But as far as program goes, though, as you said, there is
and
no
you
problem.
Say the other thing. When I mean picking us, I mean I'll do the same time. It's just right now, I don't know what'll come, but every hour that I can spend thinking about something during the day, I must not be, sitting in the president someday meeting. It's not good. Like the domestic council has a meeting on them.
Billy Grant called, I am doing a
really
regular program on that.
Well, I checked with Henry, he did call him. So
yeah. I just keep in touch with
sure.
On a political basis.
Political basis.
General policy
and
look.
And also, he'll also give some good advice. That's good.
So that we're on the...
Everybody agreed with you, incidentally, on the Golden Bear. Thanks, Greer. Once I talked to the alcohol. Who is it I left before? They both pulled out before Albert, the Chief Justice.
Did they?
They said they had a heavy plan. And after so goddamn mad, he stood there, and he always looks for perhaps a good way, but the only way he could tell his way to be is that he could see him tapping his finger about this. He was sitting in a car clipper, and he started to say, "Fuck that." So, and then they pulled out, the host of Crasso came back and said, "Well, Mr. Hathalon, don't you realize this is all in fun?" Hathalon told me to do it. I wondered if they thought I didn't enjoy it. And he said, "Well, you were putting my hell on that." I'm glad they did. They just left. It's good. Screw it. Said they had a catch plane.
It may have been all it was just plain.
Worst goddamn thing they've ever seen. They thought it was terrible.
It was.
Women were terrible. Goldwater was good. They thought Humphrey was terrible. They said,
That's exactly it. How great. He was superb. He really was. He was as good as I've ever seen him at the onset.
He's goodness.
And he is superb. And then he shifted. I think he must have had two writers. Because his early stuff was very good. Then he shifted to Paul Keyes type one-liners. You know, the Bob Hope one-liners and stuff. And he just bombed out. And they were kind of vicious. They were like the Paul Keyes of their side would write. That
Paul's
not too good.
Paul does not. Paul doesn't realize it. He has to be very carefully edited, you know. Because you remember the year he wrote Dole's.
Yeah,
he wrote Dole's.
And he bombed out.
And he bombed it out because Dole didn't edit it carefully enough.
Well, he wrote some stuff that did quite a bit for Goldwater.
And it was hit this time.
Yeah. And it was good. But they did edit it. And Goldwater also used a lot of the stuff that they'd done for Henry. For that other thing that he did, where he cut out a lot of his stuff because Frank Church had been so bad, so Henry cut out all his England stuff. So they saved it, so they just reused Goldwater used it.
Who were the last years? Yeah,
a number of them did. It was sort of a country cover. But he, of course, Goldwater's just very good. And he wore, well, and he had the good judgment mostly to poke fun at himself with a little jive at the Oxford, or at us, at the Republicans, with a little jive once in a while. He had a great line for a Goldwater line, which for that kind of thing was perfect, which is to say he was trying to analyze his position in politics, and he finds that he is way to the right of President Nixon, and a little to the left of Vice President Nixon. And which, you know, for that was a good line for that kind of thing.
I told you about that.
And poking some fun at us. See, Humphrey got on, and he started kicking you around, and that's where he stopped getting laughs. Goldwater could make a few gags about you and get away with it, because he's considered a friend. Humphrey's best line was this thing about saying he and Goldwater had a lot in common. They'd both been kicked around pretty badly by Lyndon Johnson.
It wasn't a very good day for Johnson's hospital.
Sure wasn't. And Goldwater's thing was superb. He did it very low key, of just to say a prayer for Lyndon. And each in his own way, to find some way to say a prayer for Lyndon.
Well, you've got Wilson and Tolan. Is he involved in Humphrey and stuff?
I think so. Not in 19, not in 2000, but apparently in this. Some of this other stuff that might be, you know, what I'm concerned about, it might be involved for people.
And on murder and other things, Bob, that's pretty depraved. You know, people, you don't realize, I mean, there are a hell of a lot of people in prisons that are like Bob Wilson, you know, who's become basically a degenerate. He really has. He's a degenerate in his training, he's a degenerate. I don't think Bob Wilson has any morality at this point. By that, I don't think that all people that drink and screw around steal. But generally, you'll find that they all go together.
It's a decay of their basic core.
Well, what happens is that they lose the ability to distinguish between right and wrong in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about it. I was concerned about the California unemployment of it.
Yeah.
I wonder what measure that is or are. I've been watching Schultz's. I don't see how you can have a whole infinite increase in unemployment in California. Well, you don't know what statistic you're referring to.
No, I don't. I know whether it was our state figure or whether it was their own later from state department later.
Now, the main thing John ought to do on, based on this memorandum is to get Schultz in there. Let Schultz talk about it, or let Schultz be the ask. Let Schultz be the, you know, the try to bring people together and all that sort of stuff.
Well, help Schultz too.
Well, Schultz needs that. And frankly, John shouldn't be sort of always coming in as he does. I mean, let Schultz come in and say, look, I got this problem in front of me and so forth, and I'll tell Schultz. Let John really work on things that are more important than that. You know, than the fact that, well, I have. Well, that's typically over example with the time he had to bring in. More about the Alaska pipeline. First, the issue should never have come. It was a stupid issue. I think it talks to the side of God, and they ordinarily didn't know what he wanted to do. And John Whitaker didn't have the slightest idea what it was all about. You know what I mean? And the politics of that. And
that would have been a perfect one for Schultz. I pushed Schultz back in. Schultz could serve.
You were getting that,
yeah. Schultz says he let the management side of that office get off his ass and start working.
Okay.
It'll be good for John to do this too. It'll be good for his.
I think it will.
Anyway,
what's being out front?
But also, I want him to make speeches. I want him to be on television. I want him to be out there.
Go out to the press room.
Yeah, get on the cameras.
That's right.
That's right. And he can attack. And this is the time. This is the time.
He's got to retain, you have exactly right, he retains his title in his public posture as being head of it, because that's the base on which he does all his public things.
Well, I think he's staying to it, he can counsel on the big plays, and they should consult him. He is a good balancing force in there, but he could get out of the nitpicking and the heckling.
Yeah, that's the point, because it's a waste of a good man's talents where a fellow like Schultz can do it just as well.
And Schultz almost had Cole on the head. Cole's doing most of it anyway. And he's Cole's good.
Advantage of this too is that John, and this is pushing on this, he got to swing his whole machinery over to this way of thinking.
I mean, they got some machinery.
Oh yeah, it's all the domestic council stuff. And he's got some damn good young guys in there.
Well, they've impressed me when I've seen them.
On the state girl and those guys.
Well, England
on the tax side, and there's a bunch of guys in there that are damn good. And I think he'll just start.
He's got to read. He's got to, what you really got to do is to put up a chart, almost like one of those goddamn posts that you put up for the cancer drive in the middle of town. Say, here are our issues. The issues we want to emphasize. Remember, I've covered this a dozen times, but get us on the right side of busing. Get us on the right side of the property tax. Get us on the right side of the food crisis.
And let the little things fall by the way.
Yes. Well, for example, I didn't want to, because I know how strong he feels about it, I said, let it be a secondary issue. But what I really mean, get the big issues now. Busing, property tax, dope, busing, property tax, dope, prices. Those should be our four big issues. And by dope, I include also all crime, in other words. Then, of course, on the defense side, you attack the other side as being. You attack them. You see, they're attacking us for being the defensive agents. Attack them as being people who would destroy the economy of the country, who would, their wild spending schemes would raise taxes, raise prices, you've got to attack, rather than answering them, say, oh gee, we are not for business. You attack them. For being against folks who want to raise their taxes and so forth and so on. Try to stop their programs and say they would raise taxes by so much money. Usually what it means, sure, I think it's a kind of thing. Okay, and could I also say one other thing? When you get down to such, like, a dope, I want to get marijuana hard. Like, on morality, I want to get abortion hard. I believe that. I don't want any more. From now on, I've got to have a sharp cutting edge. And I don't want people to try things here, Bob, that I don't believe in. You know what I mean? I just can't do it. I can't. I just don't want to be in a position of being soft and compromising with it. Because I know that the domestic council staff, the three-fourths of it, leans to the left. Not very basically most intellectuals do. But I am right.
light affected. So God can turn the tilt a little more my way, correct?
Compromise with the only environment thing because John feels strong.
Well, that's, it's interesting though. That's fading like Charles is just back from something, industrial conference board or something.
Yeah, and the art.
Where it was very interesting. He said their economist gave him a report that on the economic outlook that he said exceeds the wildest dreams of any of us, and on, even on a political basis.
Very interesting, very interesting.
And he said that the men that were there were he said not quite as optimistic as their economist's report was, but he said there isn't one word of negativism. It's all a question of how good.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about whether
or not.
It's only a question of degree of goodness. And the economist, who is usually the guy that's the most conservative, is the most expensive in describing how. And that was good.
I talked about the environment.
Oh, the environment. That there was great concern about the energy problem. And there's a ballot issue in California, which they were talking about, Proposition 9, which if it's passed, he says Edgar Kaiser was there, who was a Democrat, and the rest were Republicans in California. This was in California, so I don't know where it was. But
probably the comments were.
But they're just terrified that this thing is going to pass, because they've said if it does, it'll close down all industry in California. The day it passes and becomes effective, Chrysler will have to shut his steel mills in Fontana. And it'll cut down all the energy production because of, you know, its pollution requirements on it are so strict that they can't produce. And we're the Democrats
on the wrong side of the issue.
Well,
at the same time, knock out jobs.
And it will. It'll knock out jobs like you've never seen jobs knocked down.
And the way to fight it is by big billboards.
Proposition 9, if you ain't got a job there.
Save your job. Oh, no. That's good. But that's put it down. Save your job. Oh, no.
No, I'm not. Runs nicely, too.
That's very good.
Unfortunately, they got Clint Whitaker handling the campaigns.
A young one. Just more than that. I remember that Whitaker factor.
Young Clint never had quite the brains that his father did.
His father had a certain style.
Well, his father and Leone were a pretty good pair, but she had that gooey ideas and he had pretty good judgment.
She did it too.
No, I think she's still around. Well, she is a strange thing. I've got it. I remember we were working with her in that 62 campaign.
You know, I was interested in, I didn't know Ziegler wasn't coming to the gridiron. I told him to go, but I didn't know. Why didn't he come up?
He doesn't like him.
You know, he told me that with plane, but I hope that he is,
I'll tell you,
I hope he hasn't become bruised. But
no, I don't want him to get, it is,
because he was doing a great job. And I he said to me, he says, I was just glad to have an excuse not to be with those guys. I don't like it. That's what he said to me. Well, okay, Rob.
No, I'm glad to give you an excuse. There's another factor. He wouldn't want you to know this, but he's right on it, and you can misjudge this by misunderstanding. You shouldn't misunderstand.
Yeah.
They have never put him at the head table. They have never introduced him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the press secretary of the President of the United States.
They haven't.
And he has felt that this is a gross insult to the President.
Yeah.
He really doesn't give a shit about himself. And it sounds bad.
I am the life
that the guy.
No, I have to be a star too. Why they always introduce that asshole Hagerty And of course, not only
they introduce Klein, they build up Klein always.
Yeah, because Klein's always kissing their ass.
But not Ron. And I think he's right.
Why don't they?
The funny thing is, that this week, this year, they did introduce Jerry Warren, which is the first time they've introduced anybody from the press office. But Ron wasn't there. They introduced Jerry Warren. They had him down in the back row of the tables on the floor. But they did have him.
Well, I think Ron is totally convinced now of the theory that I've always had about the press. And that is that we have no friends. We've got that list collected. Now, I want that ruthless to be carried out for those who listen to money. And if you talk to Ron since this about the Russian trip, is he willing?
No.
He wants to include all those sun bridges of evidence before.
No, they're not going to go. No, he's got a major case to make on the Russian trip.
Does he want to have 500? No. On what ground?
Well, I shouldn't turn. He's got a pretty good case put together tonight. I can't make it as long.
Well, what do you think?
Well, the grounds are A, they can handle them. B, you set the precedent for open press coverage in your other trip to Moscow. And there was no restriction at that time. We shouldn't look like
all I have to say is
this time.
This time, can he just let in all of our friends and cut out some of our enemies once? We have never cut out an enemy yet that I know of, except for the Boston Globe. Right? That's the only one he kept out of the other trip. Am I correct me if I'm wrong?
No.
And Newsday.
Yeah, we cut
Newsday or the Boston Globe.
The problem is, on this one, you either go. If you restrict, you got a problem restricting it. And we may not be able to restrict it using the Russians, as the excuse.
The Russians may not have many.
Which is apparent what it is, and they have no problem on accommodations and all that. They're able to handle it. Chinese, if they had a legitimate
proof, how it worked out very quickly.
Problem.
Well, let me come to the other proposition. At least this can be done. Can we get this fine staff of ours around here and talk to those poor, lonely sons of bitches and press on our side?
Sure.
And quit talking society for at least a week, maybe one week.
The other side of it is, as Ron points out, on Russia, what we can do very effectively is we can play our friends on the pools, on the points where there's an opportunity to cover, which would be highly restricted. In other words, you let anybody go who wants to go, but you don't let them into anything. It's kind of like Trisha's wedding. We opened the gate, we let everybody in.
That's all right for Russia, but let me come back to the other thing. Will Ron follow all of you with regard to Osborne and Saidi, just those two?
Ron will, and most of us will.
All right.
I won't anymore say to you that yes, everybody will, because I'm not sure I can deliver on that. I don't.
Do the best you can.
Well, your first problem is your biggest star.
Henry.
Kind of wish he'd dry up on some of those guys. If he would just,
yeah.
I can see his point wanting to play, and he does. He gets a payoff, and I can't argue it on, for instance, Roland Evans, because he gets well, but he gets good foreign policy stuff out of it. He does get a payoff.
He doesn't get enough of a payoff to Saidi.
No, he does. He thinks he does, and he kids himself into thinking he does. But even when Saidi
does something for Henry, he doesn't do it for me.
When Saidi does a good column, he'll do it anyway, because he has to. Saidi's got a pattern. He writes one good, three bad, or whatever it is, and he stays with that. He always will. He's got to write a good one now and then to keep his credibility.
Let me tell you something about this speech being ours. The key to a problem here is to get top editor. I don't think it.
I've got an idea.
I just don't think that he can do it. Sapphire can't do it. I don't know. I mean, I'll do it myself.
Out of presidential speechwriting, or out of presidential speech editing. You leave him as editor of the research and writing group for all the stuff other than presidential speeches.
All right. In effect, I
as others do. But you like, for example, like
I'll tell you, I'll look for example, right? I want you to work on the acceptance speech. That's something that's going to take a month to write, and you've got to get that in the last year, huh?
It'll take him at least, and he's going to get
opposite interests.
How is it not confusing?